You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So, before we actually start, I just wanted to mention that Amen is our 100th point series. So I don't want to miss it. This is the last week of it, but that's kind of weird. So there's probably not 100 backdrops on that wall. We've definitely, I've copped out and done the same series, sequels and stuff. Sequels, it sounds more spiritual that way. Yeah, those elders, they're going to be on me all about that. But 100 series, which is kind of crazy, over the last 11 and a couple of months, over the last 11 years and a couple of months. So I wanted to tell you a story. Some of you are familiar with this, speaking of over the last 11 or some months. About 8 years ago, I had an issue. I have multiple issues. I have lots of issues. But this particular issue was unique. At the time, it was unique because, who knew that 2 months ago I'd have another issue that turned out to be a heart attack, but that's a different story. So I'm really not as sickly, I don't think I'm as sickly as I come across in all these different weird stories. But once upon a time, in the early days of MC3, we used to actually have a homeschool group that met here in the building called Cogite. And some of you are alumni from there. Now you're all in college. By the way, a shout out to half of Karen University is here this morning. I think there's, 7 of you here? Anyway, we used to have this group here, and I was upstairs was doing my office stuff. And I remember Kendra was here because she had our kids down here. I came down and said, Kendra, something's not right. And I remember just kind of being a little bit, just something was off. I felt a little bit spacey. And I just said, I'm not feeling right. I feel off. Maybe you've had that experience where something's just not right. And she said, well, what's wrong? And I'm like, hamburger chicken? I don't know if that was my response, but I couldn't form my words. I'm like, I, and then she was asking me questions like, what's your name? Oh, my name is. Sean? And then she had me read a book. She gave me a book, and all it looked like were a whole bunch of letters in front of me. So there were some other people here. Steph was here, and being in the medical profession, was like, that's probably not good. So we went to the ER, and the elders are a little freaking out because they're like, wow, this sounds like stroke symptoms. And what are we going to do if Sean has a stroke? And we're like, I don't know. What are you going to do if he has a heart attack? So we went there and we were there for a good chunk of the afternoon. They did the different tests and things. And ultimately, I had a CT scan, and the CT showed that everything stroke-wise was completely normal. There was no blockage in my brain or anything like that. But what they determined was that I was actually having an acute migraine. And migraines can show themselves in many ways. I didn't really have any pain, but I just had apparently a whole bunch of pressure and blood flow to my head. Never really had a migraine to my knowledge before. So that's what it was. So then I was prescribed a medicine here. Let's see, this one is Sumatra tryptophan. Wait a second. It's the turkey stuff. No, Sumatra tryptophan, succinate. Oh, so it sucks. That's what. Okay. No wonder it wasn't any good. No. Anyway, they prescribed this medicine for me, and it's something that I'm only supposed to take at the onset of a migraine. And what's interesting about it is that when I feel these migraine symptoms coming on, if things feel not right, if I'm feeling a little spacey, I take this, and I think I have to do it with water. Yeah. And I shouldn't be pregnant when I take it either. But I take it, and when I do, honestly, within about 5 to 10 minutes, the symptoms have completely subsided, and I am just just a hint, maybe a little bit tired, maybe, but not really, and I'm better. And so it's kind of amazing. There are really no side effects to it. Nothing bothered me. I'm not like, oh, I take that medicine and I'm in trouble. And it's pretty crazy because I remember, you know, a few months later, and I only get like six a year. Honestly, I don't even take these anymore because if I take it with my heart medicine, I'll die. So, but that's a different story. But here's the thing about that medicine is that when I had a few months later, I had my first kind of migraine thing, took it. I'm like, whoa, like I was better, like just like that, within minutes better, didn't feel anything else, continued on with my day, read all my books, knew my name, my birth date, and all of that. And it was good. And I remember, you know, one of the things that would happen recurringly over the years is that I would, you know, we're sitting and watching TV or I'm at the dinner table with the family and Kendra's like, what's up? And I'll be like, I don't know, I'm feeling maybe I'm having a migraine. And I said, well, how long have you been feeling this way? I don't know, maybe an hour or so. She's like, did you take the medicine? No, why would I do that? Because the medicine solves all the problems with no side effects and it's pretty much instant. Why didn't you take the medicine? Well, I didn't want to. I didn't feel like it. I don't know. I know it's right there and I could get it. It's in my cabinet right there and I could take it, but I don't. And Kendra would often say, just take the meds. Like, that has become a thing. Like, just take the meds. Just take the meds. You stupid? Come on, take the meds. And it's so interesting because I'm like, okay, fine. I'm like, hey, I feel better. She's like, oh, what a shock. But, you know, I avoided it even though it was there. There were no side effects. It was instant. It was a resource that I had at my disposal. And I wasn't willing to take advantage of it for the sake of healing, for the sake of getting better. And ready for this? That's what we do with prayer. The series has been all about prayer. And we have this resource that is instantly at our disposal that will, and listen, I'm going to say this now, you might hear me, but maybe by the end of the morning, you'll start to understand. But we have this resource that's instantly at our disposal that also instantly solves the problem. But yet, we are not willing to take advantage of it. We're not willing to use it. And again, and that is prayer. And so what we're gonna come back to this idea, but the point for this week, as we wrap up this Amen series, is that prayer is about trusting God to provide. And we spent this morning singing a bunch of songs, worshiping God through those ideas of trust and God's providing for us and recognizing that He is going to come through whether we see it or not. And as we said throughout this series, and we talked about the wireless series that we did way back in the day about prayer, prayer is simply a conversation with God. It's just talking to God. And the first week, and I'll come back to this later, but the first week we talked about, you know, prayer is just submission. It's not about, you know, He's some sort of magic, you know, voice assistant that we just say the wake word and Google gives us what we want, or Alexa or Siri. All of you are messed up now. Siri, turn on the lights. Alexa, turn on the lights. Okay, Google, turn on the lights. Okay, for all the people that are home that are watching this now. But, you know, prayer isn't like that. Like, it's not a magic eight ball. It's not a genie in the bottle. It's an opportunity to say, okay, God, what do you want for me? And submitting ourselves to Him. And then the second week of the series, we talked about confession and how because it's a conversation with God, we can be real about our failures. We can be real about our mistakes and come to God and be like, God, I messed up. And He's like, I know. But thanks, because this relationship matters. And then last week we talked about the idea of adoration and how God is just incredible. And how often we're more interested in the gift than the giver. And we're more interested in what God can do for us than we are in who He is. And just to take some time in this conversation and say, God, thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being incredible. And as we continue with this idea of this conversation, God wants us to put our needs in His hands. He wants us to go to Him with the struggles. He wants us to go with Him with the challenges, because only He can meet those needs. Because only He can provide the healing. And healing is, I don't mean that in quotes, but in terms of the medicine idea. And you take it, you're better. You go to God, you're better. And again, you might be like, what are you talking about? That's not always true. We'll come back to that. But we're going to look at this passage that we actually teased on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, here on our Facebook page and Instagram page. And it's very, like, if you're talking about prayer, this is probably one of the go-to verses. If you grew up in church, you probably have this memorized or at least are aware of it. But it's in Philippians chapter 4. So if you have a paper Bible, we're going to turn on the lights. If you have the YouVersion app, Philippians is in the New Testament. So you just kind of zing and let it scroll up. And then Philippians is, maybe like 8 from the end. And we're going to be in chapter 4. And we're looking at verses 6 to 7. And this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church that he planted in Philippi. And so he's writing back to them about just some housekeeping things, some things to adjust their relationship with him. And he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And so I want to break this down with this idea of just taking the meds. Like, the resource is there. As soon as we take it, it's going to make things better. And again, bear with me on that thought. It's going to make things better, but yet we don't. And it's not like, oh, well, prayer is really complicated. If we talk about the very first week, prayer is just a conversation. And again, that first week we talk about, we can be totally real. We don't need to sound spiritual. We don't need to go all King James-y. We don't need to have a certain way we do things or a certain dress that we have to wear or outfit we have to wear or certain rituals to go through because we have direct access to God. And so it's right there. And when we go to God, he is going to help us. And I'm just leaving that help in a generic term. But yet we ignore it. And so Paul lays it out for the church in Philippi, for us as followers of Jesus today. He says some very clear things. And you know, you can look at the Bible and be like, oh, I don't agree with that interpretation. Fine, whatever. But it's kind of pretty much the way it is. Paul says, the first thing he says is, worry about nothing. Now, nothing means nothing. Or as he writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the first part, he says, don't worry about anything. Worry about nothing. Don't worry about anything. It's the same thing. And the phrase or the word worry, your translation may say, don't be anxious. The word, the Greek word there, it means to be anxious, to have anxiety, to have worry. And, you know, on one level, we're like, oh, it's just my anxiety kicking up. Paul says, no. That's not a good enough excuse. Or we say things like, oh, I'm not worried. I'm just concerned. But unfortunately, the Greek word doesn't let you out with that cop-out either because the word means the same thing. He says, don't worry. Don't be concerned. Don't be anxious. Don't have anxiety about anything. And the problem with this, the problem with you, the problem with me is that anything means most things. Because we'll say, yeah, I know, God, I'm not supposed to worry about this, but this situation, this situation is unique. But I'm the only one that really cares about this. But if you only knew my situation, you would realize that it's worth worrying about. But Paul doesn't give us any room. The Holy Spirit, God guided Paul to write the words, don't worry about anything. Worry about nothing. So you and I have no excuse. Stop. Stop. And I am not preaching. This isn't like me to you. This is me to me. We got a message last night. One of our team members is really sick. Like, just stomach sick. I mean, that's really sick. If you're the one, anyway, we'll not go into the graphic details about all those kind of things. But what am I instantly doing? I know I'm teaching this today, and last night I'm like, oh, well, what's going to handle that? What about this? Who's going to do that thing? And I'm like, God was like, Sean, what are you teaching tomorrow? Well, God, you don't understand. This is for the benefit of the body. I care for the flock of the Lord. So you must surely understand that I am allowed to worry about such things. Nope, don't worry about anything. Worry about nothing. And it all worked out. We are here. We are comfortable. It's good. Like, the building did not collapse. The doors were open. All the things worked out fine. And God's like, I've already had that figured out, but you were worrying about it. And so Paul says, don't worry about anything. Worry about nothing. And the crazy thing is that he says, worry about nothing, because he's about to share why. Because we have this resource at our disposal instantly. We have the meds right there. And it's like Paul says, don't have a migraine. Oh, but you don't understand my situation. No, just take the meds. And that's the second thing that he shares. He says, worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. In the second part of verse 6, then, he says this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. And this is the NLT, the New Living Translation, uses just the phrase pray about everything. Your translation might say something about prayer and petition. And the NLT kind of combined those two words. But the Greek actually has two separate words there. And they're really cool words. And so I want you to hear this. That the word pray, again, prayer and petition are often used. The word pray, that's translated that way, is prosuke. And it means It means just to pray. To pray to God. To ask for what you want. And it's a very, like, it's a word just means to say, this is what I need. It's not an irreverent word by any means, but it's just a very almost casual word to say, go to God with what you need. Ask him. This has the feel of you know, what we would like to see happen. Wouldn't it be nice if, kind of a thing. Because God wants to hear your desires. He wants to hear your needs. And so just, you know, that's one of the reasons why people don't pray, because we're like, well, God doesn't care about me. This word pray means just ask. I say this so often with people in my family. What does it hurt to ask? What does it hurt to ask? Oh, I don't want to bother them. What does it hurt to ask? And many times, you know, I remember talking to one of the kids about an extension for a project. Hey, you've got some things going on. Why don't you ask? Why don't you ask the professor? What's it going to hurt? Like, how dare you ask me? You are hereby expelled from school. They're not going to do that. They might say no, and you're no better off. You're no worse off. But that's what this word means. It's like, just ask. I mean, God might not answer the way you want it. He might not give you what you asked for, but He wants to know. He wants to hear. And He wants to give us our desires. And we're going to come back to this idea of wanting to give us Him giving us what we want. And we're going to break that down a little bit as we conclude this morning. But that's what this word means, is by prayer, but just by asking God. Like, He is interested in what you want. And I don't know, maybe the best example might be, I'm not sure of what your family situation was like growing up or when you were a little kid, but, you know, I had grandparents that would always be around Christmas time or my birthday. What do you want for your birthday? And I say Christmas and my birthday because they're like right next to each other, so I never really got either. I got Christmas, but birthday was like, oh, this counts for both. Yeah, whatever. But that idea of saying, well, what do you want? And my grandparents, they legit, what do you want? I could say to them, I would like this. And oftentimes that they might get me this. It might be a big thing. It might be a little thing. It might be a weird thing. But that idea of I could just say, hey, I don't know, I'd really like to have, you know, that Lego town set that had the square, the platforms. If there was a building on it, you know it was expensive, but there was a platform underneath it with the roads on it. Anyway, you don't want to talk about that. It's okay. But like, because I knew I could ask them. I wouldn't be like, no, I'm not going to say anything. Because they were interested in hearing. And that's what this word means. And the second word, petition, it's a word that means, it's deesis. It means to pray for a specific thing. And the interesting thing about this word is that the root means to beg. And so this is where it's getting more into the idea of, like, what are the things? Not just that, hey, wouldn't it be nice if, but also, God, I'm desperate for this. God, I need you to come through for this. I'm begging you. God, answer this request. And so Paul says that we can go to God with both of those types of prayers, with both of those attitudes, saying that don't worry about it, go before God. Now, it doesn't mean that God is going to give you what you think you need, and we'll get to that in a second. But he says, go to God. Go to God with the things that are kind of like, well, wouldn't that be neat? Go to God with the things that are kind of a, yeah, you know, what does it hurt to ask? And go to God with the things that you're desperate for him to come through. God, I need this person's heart to change. God, I need this job. God, I need them to get better. God, I need this relationship to be repaired. We can go to God with both of those things. And the interesting thing is that when we go with these things, it changes us. And he says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And this thankfulness, this thanksgiving is interesting because God cares about us. So Paul says, don't worry, pray about everything. And as you're praying for the things you need and as you're desperately on your knees for the things that you feel like you need, the things you want, just thank God. And if you look at this, you're like, why would you thank someone when they haven't given you a gift yet? Like if I went to my grandparents and said, this is what I want that Lego fire hall set that has the two doors and the three trucks that come out, and the one has the ladder. And if I, maybe this would even be weird, if I'm like, this is what I want, thank you for getting it for me. Like, okay, that's a little presumptuous, don't you think there, Mr. Six-year-old? Or 15-year-old, I might have been older. Whatever, you know, Lego's good stuff. You wouldn't say that. Like, that would be a little bit obnoxious. You know, last week we had the big old meeting, and, you know, if you went to your boss, that's one of those boss things. People are like, thank you for doing this thing I'm about to ask you to do. Like, it almost has this, like, presumptuous, weird kind of thing. But Paul says that we can thank God, not because he's necessarily going to give us what we want, but because he's willing to listen, because he's willing to be the resource. And so that's why he says, you know, pray about everything. Thank him for all he has done. Tell him what you need and thank him for all he's done. We can have a heart of thanksgiving. We can have an attitude of gratefulness. An attitude of gratitude. Come on. All right. I really didn't want those to rhyme, but you know that. Anyway, we can have that attitude because God cares about us. Because he's interested in listening. And God, I can say, this is my need. I'm desperate for you to come through. God, this is what I really want. It would be wonderful if this could happen. But regardless, thank you. Thank you for listening. Or as we looked at the very first week of this series, not my will, but your will be done. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So thank you, God. We can thank him. And I just closed my notes. And then the third thing is, he says, worry about nothing, pray about everything. And that still doesn't come with the conclusion yet. The conclusion is peace beyond understanding. And this is the crux of the issue. The issue isn't worry about nothing, pray about everything, and you'll get it. The issue is when you worry about nothing and you pray about everything, you will have peace. You will have healing. The migraine will go away. You're not cured from your migraine necessarily, but the migraine will go away. And that's the verse 7, what Paul says there. He says, then, after you don't worry and you pray about everything, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And I've got a number of notes here because I don't want to miss a few things. The issue with prayer and the reason why we don't need to worry about anything and that we can pray about everything is because of this. It's because of peace. Because we can have the biggest burden, the most legitimate burden. And God's heart breaks. I mean, read the Bible, especially when you see Jesus on this earth. Jesus wept when he saw people dealing with death. When he saw the city of Jerusalem, he starts to mourn and weep over the town because these people need hope. So he gets it. He gets us. If you saw all those different commercials, which are just amazing, he understands that. But the issue is that when we pray, he gives us peace. Then you will experience peace, not the answer to your need, not just this is a really desperate situation, but God says, I'm giving you peace. And the thing about this peace is that it exceeds anything we can understand. It is beyond understanding. It is something that doesn't make sense. And so here's the problem, is that we have an issue, we have a need, we have a worry, and we worry, or let's just say a concern. I'm concerned about this. And we don't go to God because even if you're aware of this verse, even if you're aware of this passage, you're like, yeah, but I God, this situation is so big, there is no way that I could experience peace by going to you in prayer. And so what you've done there in that moment is said, I understand how this peace works. And that this peace must be when I go to God with my need, if I don't get what I want, then I'm going to be upset. And we try to justify even the willingness to go to God when he says it's peace. How is it? Peace beyond understanding. So just can we just stop being logical for a second? Can we stop looking at this from a sense of saying, okay, I'll go to God when this makes sense. I'll ask God about the little things because I know if he comes through, that'll be great. If he doesn't, no big deal. But Paul says that this is peace that exceeds anything we can understand. So stop trying to explain or justify why praying won't work for your situation. It's beyond understanding. It doesn't make sense. And so if you're in a deep spot right now, if you're in a hard place right now, and you're thinking, this is a big deal, what am I going to do about it? No, Paul says, don't worry about it. Bring it to God. By the way, it's not don't worry, just stop worrying. It's not don't worry, be happy. It's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. But don't worry. No, that's not what he's saying. He says, don't worry, but pray. That's the situation, the resolution for the worry is prayer. And when we go and we pray about it, God will bring peace. Not because it answers your need. Not because you get what you want. But because he gives you his peace. And that peace, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And those are the things you've seen in other people, other Christ followers that have hard times. And they're like, why? How can you go through this and have the attitude that you do? That doesn't make any sense. You're like, you're absolutely right. It is a peace beyond understanding. And so Paul says that this peace guards us. He says it guards your hearts and your minds. And I think there's a reason that Paul used the word heart and mind. The word for heart is cardia. It's a word I'm far more familiar with these days than I used to be. But the word heart, it has to do with your emotions, what you feel. And so Paul is saying that peace, this peace will protect us. It will guard us from our own failures. And that's what we talk about the second week of the series. We fail. We mess up. And our own sin issues will make us feel things that aren't right. Yeah, I mean, hopefully, I don't know, maybe you don't know, but like you can't live your life based on what feels good. And you can't look at something that feels bad and assume that that's wrong. Like we have emotions, we have feeling, but that is not how we should live our lives. Unfortunately, we allow our emotions to dictate how we do things. You should really get out of that relationship. That girl is not good for you. Yeah, but it just feels right. No, that's not a good reason. If it feels good, do it. No, if it feels bad, I'm going to avoid it. I would not want to apply for a missions team. I'd have to fly, and then it would be like smelly and hot and all these reasons that we go with our feelings. And like, that is not a good reason to, because something is bad, isn't a good reason to avoid something. So he says when we pray about things, his peace is going to guard our hearts, guard our feelings from the wrong way of feeling. And then he says he's going to guard our minds, which is what we think. And sometimes our minds get out of control and we can justify our way out of anything. I was just listening to Andy Stanley, was it last week, I think, and he was talking about how the best salesman you'll ever meet is in the mirror. Because you can always convince your way out of anything. Well, it's not that big of a deal. You know, you do deserve this. You realize that your situation is unique from other people. I mean, no one was alive in this time that has gone through the issue that you are going through. And we can convince ourselves with our mind about things that are wrong. And Paul says that when we pray about everything, that peace is going to guard us from wrong feeling and from wrong thinking. And we can have peace because we are leaving it in the hands of the God of the universe who cares about you. And again, this comes back to last week. When we come to understand who God is, when we recognize His greatness, when we worship Him and thank Him and pray to Him for who He is, we're like, wow, that God wants to hear my needs. That God not only wants to hear my needs, but cares about me. Then we have a little bit of a different perspective where we can say, okay, God, I don't get this situation. I've been worried about it. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how I can resolve it. And so I'm going to stop worrying. I'm just going to open my hands and I'm going to leave it with you. I'm not going to control it. I'm going to leave it with you, God. This is what I really want. This is what I really need to happen. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm leaving it with you. And I just want to say thank you for caring. And I want to trust that you know what's best for me. And that your response is going to be better than anything that I want. And in that moment, we say, okay, it's not my job to figure it out. We can let go, and then we will experience God's peace. And even though our feelings might say, this just doesn't feel right, that's okay because it's beyond understanding. And His peace is going to guard our heart. And when there's moments where we're like, but this, from a logical state, this doesn't quite work out. That's okay. You're not holding on to it. You're letting it go. And His peace is going to guard your minds. He's going to guard your thinking, the logic, and say, no, God, this is yours. And that is how we have a resource that's instantly at our disposal. It doesn't mean that your request is going to be answered. It doesn't mean you're going to get what you want. But it means that you are going to God and saying, God, it's yours, and I'm done worrying about it. Because I can't fix it anyway. I can't control it anyway. You and I can never control anyone's heart. You and I can't force things to happen. Like, and we're so stupid because we think we can somehow. Jesus even said, who of you by worrying is going to add anything to your life? Don't worry about tomorrow. Every day has enough trouble of its own. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Leave it in God's hands and trust Him to take it. I have this quote from Chuck Swindoll on my wall, and I love it. And maybe you need to listen to this and listen closely. Because he's talking about this passage, and he says, this is what Swindoll says, Lord, this is your problem to fix. You take control. Let me know what you want me to do if I'm to be involved in this situation. By leaving it with you, I will consider it solved. And he's saying that, God, I'm giving this to you, and I'm not even going to try to meddle in the results. And I'm going to trust, God, that if I'm supposed to get involved, you're going to make it clear to me, but otherwise I'm leaving it with you. And we are so not that way. This is so, like, what do you mean? You're not going to do anything? You deadbeat? No, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to open my hands and trust that God has this. And so that's what Paul is saying here. Just take the meds. Just, we have this resource in prayer. Just use it, you idiot. Why? Why not? Because when we do, we can worry about nothing. worry about nothing. We don't have to have anxiety. We don't have to be concerned. We don't have any of those issues because we can pray about everything. And that, again, that everything is the big things and the little things. God wants to hear it all. Please, don't think of God as some stupid human being. Because there are definitely times where we're like, oh, I don't want to bother them with that. Oh, it's not a big deal. I'll just deal with it. I don't want to call my doctor about that. It's probably nothing. It's just a little bit of tightness in the chest. What's the worst that could happen? And we have that mentality, and God's like, no, that's not how I operate. I want to know about all of it. I care about you. I love you deeply. I care about your big, major, heart-wrenching concerns and your little silly desires. I care about all of it. So go to him, and then you will receive peace that is beyond understanding, so stop trying to understand it. God, I don't know if it's going to turn out the way I want. The interview might not happen. They might not come through. The relationship may not be resolved. They might not survive. But I know that, God, you are in control, and I can trust you with it. And that is what we're supposed to do. So prayer is about trusting God to provide. And as we've been doing each week with this series, this is the last time, is I wanted to wrap it up with a chance for you to practice some of the things that we've been talking about. For us to practice. And go ahead and turn off the room lights, the house lights there. But I said I would come back to this, this idea of what does it mean when God doesn't answer our prayers? Why does God not answer our prayers? Why does he not come through? And we kind of say, I'm not going to pray because God doesn't come through. And I think sometimes it's because we misunderstand what the Bible actually says. And so I'm going to share some prayers of provision, some things in the Bible that talk about God providing for our needs, God providing for our issues. And these aren't just prayers of provision. These are cropped prayers of provision. So it's a little crossover there, if you like that. A little crossover from the different series. But cropped passages in the Bible, we did two series, cropped and cropped two, which is a good way to do the second one, were about passages that we kind of take out of context. And I want to share, as we think about this idea of God meeting our needs, of God coming through for us, of God just taking our situations, a lot of times we don't go to God because perhaps we misunderstand these passages. And we're like, oh, I went to God and he didn't come through the way I wanted. He told me he would, but he didn't. And so I just want to take a few moments to share a couple of these and have us chew on them. And then the band is going to play a little bit more, lead us in a song. And then we're going to have a chance to actually pray together out loud, responding to God in these areas. So one of the first cropped prayers of provision is that ask and it will be given to you in Matthew chapter 7. And people are like, you know, they say that, hey, well, if you just ask, you're going to get it. See, the Bible says so. And a lot of times you're like, well, I asked and I didn't get it. So what does that mean? God, why are you a liar? I'm not going to pray again. Why would I use you as a resource when you didn't come through? But of course, it's cropped because it's taken out of context. And this is the whole section. As Jesus is talking here, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So far we're like, okay, God, why don't you give me what I want? But he wasn't talking about God giving us what he wants, what we want. Jesus was talking about our willingness to even go to him in the first place. Because he goes on and says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. As a parent, you're going to give your kids the things that they need. And he says, if you then, though you are evil, you and I are sinful people, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And Jesus was saying, not, you ask, you're going to get it. He was saying, why don't you ask as because we already said God loves us. He wants to hear our need. He wants to hear our concerns. He cares about us. So we don't have to feel like, oh, I don't want to bother you, God. Jesus says, no, ask, because your Father, He wants to give good gifts to you. But if we don't ask, we're not going to receive. Then another one over in James sounds very similar. This says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Okay, Jesus was talking about asking. Well, now James says, if I ask, I'm going to get it. But again, out of context, James says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. And see, when we come to God, like, God isn't going to answer our prayers based on what we want. He's going to do what is best for us. And a lot of times we go to God and say, God, I want this thing. I mean, if you remember, I think Craig Rochelle talked about this in Prime Groups in the video. Like, he had a frat party Bible study. And they would pray that they didn't get busted by the cops when they would drink. Like, that was their very shallow prayer. And how often are we like, you know, those kind of things. And God's like, no. Don't ask for your own selfish things. Think about things from my perspective. And then, I'm going to open the doors. I'm going to give you what you need. Another passage is in Matthew 6. Jesus says, He will give you everything you need. So, like, you hear a theme here. Like, okay, God, why don't I not have what I need? Why aren't you giving me what I need? Why aren't you giving me what I asked for? But again, out of context, Jesus says fully, He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Go after what God wants. Make that your goal. Make Him your goal. And live righteously. Don't make Him your goal. Look good on Sunday morning and live however you want the rest of the week. Honor God with everything that you do. Seek Him in everything, above everything else. And He will give you everything you need. If you make God your priority and not accumulating all the things you think you need, God will give you the things that you need. But seek Him first. Seek Him above everything else. Another passage is in Psalm 37. It says, He will give you the desires of your heart. That's awesome. Oh, God, I really want that new car. You better give it to me. I prayed about it. But that's not what this passage says either. The first part of Psalm 37 says, take delight in the Lord. Make God your source of joy. Make God your source of pleasure. Because if you're saying that new car will give me pleasure, clearly God is not your source of pleasure. But when you take delight in Him, then He will give you the desires of your heart, because your heart is going to want the things that God wants to give you. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And then finally, He will make your path straight. And just praying, God is going to show you exactly what to do. He will get you. You're going to get that interview. Every light will be green when you drive through town. You're going to win every lottery that you ever invest in. He's going to just make it all the way you want it. Again, in context, the writer of Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in God with everything. Not what you think you need. Not, okay, God, I'll trust you for this extra. What if we trust God for what we need? What if we said, God, give me today my daily bread? What if we trusted God for what we need today? Trust Him with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Which brings us full circle. A peace beyond understanding. If we're trying to lean on our own understanding, if we're trying to depend on what we know or what we think we know, we're not trusting God. He goes on and says, in all your ways, submit to Him. Not most of your ways. Not just the ways that are easy to submit to God. but in all of your ways. Not just when you're around church people, but when you're at work with that really annoying coworker. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. So what we have here is, if you trust God with everything you've got, if you depend on Him, He's going to show you the right way, because you and He are going to be on the same wavelength. You and God are going to be on the same course. And of course He's going to direct your path, because He wants you to grow in Him. He wants you to trust Him more. And that path doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a bumpy path. Because that path, I mean, Kendra prayed earlier. It's kind of a scary prayer. God, teach us to trust You. If we have to learn to trust God, it often is going to require trust and being in spots where we can't figure out our own. If we have everything, we don't need God. But the writer of Proverbs here says, trust God with everything. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight.